15-15 that I probably presents the Wrestling Roundtables, the Raw, the Bad, the Ugly, the weekly podcast where we tell you what we like, then the liking was just flat out horrendous. It is your favorite tag team partners, me, Stuart Bro.
It's Miller.
And Raw took place at the Mohegan Sun in some bar, Pennsylvania.
Wait, isn't the Mohegan Sun in Massachusetts? What?
I thought it was in Connecticut.
That's what I thought too.
But it's Wilkes Bar, Pennsylvania.
Wait, hold on.
Mohegan Sun Arena at Casey Plaza.
Hmm.
And just so y'all know, fun fact about Wilkes Bar, I don't have one. Shit. I didn't even heard of the city.
I've heard of it because I think it's like two cities. That's why it's Wilkes Bar.
Is it Wilkes? I think it's Wilkes Bar. Bar. I think it's Bar. B-A-R-R-E. Bar.
I got nothing.
Bear.
Can you not do that?
Yeah. Burr. Wilkes Burr.
Burr.
Yeah, whatever. That's what it's called.
Gucci.
Anyway, I have no fun fact about that place. Only that, nothing. Anyway, moving on. Do you have a match to watch for us?
I do. The Best of the Super Juniors Finals, Kushida versus Will Ospreay. Spoiler alert, Kushida won. It was a really, really good match, man. I was on the edge of my seat. I was in Arizona, as anybody who listens to RBU. Was it RBU that we did? Yeah, we did RBU in Arizona. Man, I was there for a minute. Anyway. And my dad just happened to be walking through when I was watching the match, and he got stuck. That's how good it was. He was like, this is crazy. So I can't really do justice to the spots because it was insane, but you definitely see the evolution of Will Ospreay in this because, as some would say, they're not fans of the flippy shit. There was less flippy shit and more and more of him telling the story. It's not even Randy Orton. There are legit people that I know, curbside hero that I get a lot of news from, He does not like Will Ospreay. He doesn't like it.
Yeah, some suck a dick.
Okay, he's my friend.
Whatever.
Okay. Well, anyway.
I don't know. Shit. If I did know, we'd be friends enough so I can tell him, go suck a dick.
What?
Shit.
Oh, man. Yeah,
hey, that's where you chuckle the middle finger at him and say, hey, dude, something's wrong with you. Dude, I hate when people look. It's another element. I mean, that's what drew people to the cruiserweights in the first place,
true.
Or light heavyweights at the time, because
cruiserweights, light heavyweights, junior heavyweights,
right? Whatever. That's what drew you to them in the first place. But then they also wrestled because you had guys like Dean Malenko, who was a smaller guy. But he was a technical wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people know how to mix them well. Now, if Weston Phil Ospreay was just all flips and gimmicks, then I can understand you having that problem. But he's not. True. And so that's what irritates me. So that's why I say he can suck a dick. Anyway, so I want to add on to a match to watch for. One of them is not really a match to watch for, but it's a promo that I thought was really good. Go to NXT. Listen to the Tommaso Ciampa
promo.
It was really, really good. It actually gives me high hopes because my thing that I always fear with WWE is that when they break these people up,
they won't do nothing.
Right. Like, Buddy Murphy. Murphy and what's the other dude's name? See? Blake and Murphy. Yeah.
Just well, like they're both jobbers.
Right. But they were such a good tag team.
Mm-hmm.
They were such a good tag team. And now what? Now what are you doing with them?
Not all.
Right. And now, who is it? Buddy Murphy? Buddy Murphy that's with Alexa Bliss. And now your husband's going to be out of job, because I guarantee you. I mean, he's jobbing in NXT. He's not going to have a job too much longer. I'm just saying. But anyway, but Tommaso Ciampa came out and he cut a great promo. And I don't even want to tell y'all what he said. I want y'all to actually go on the WWE Network. If you don't have it, it's $9.99. And go to NXT, the last episode, and listen to that promo. It was really good. Really, really good. All right. And then after that, my match to watch for Pete Dunne versus Danny Burch. This was really good. I didn't even know who the fuck Danny Burch was. I guess he was on the UK tournament. I really didn't get to watch the UK tournament.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
But, dude, they went at it. Like you and Jay Fields would say, you want to see a strong style match. This was the match to watch this week. If you only watch WWE, this was the match to watch. Go on the network once again and watch that match. It was very strong, very physical, and it had wrestling to it. And he's the UK champion, but he just didn't dominate Danny Burch like that. They mm-hmm. actually had a wrestling match. So that will be my match to watch for. Anyway, moving on. News and rumors.
We're only, what is this, the 6th? So we're 5 days away
mm-hmm.
from Okada versus Omega on June 11th. Just to remind y'all.
Oh, shit, that's Sunday? See, no, man, my mama want to try to do some other shit on Sunday, dog. And now, I ain't tell her in these words, and I know she ain't gonna listen to the podcast. She don't fuck with wrestling. My mama fucking my weekend up.
Well, hold on, because I believe, I'll double check for you, but because it's at 3 a.m., I believe that'll be 3 a.m. Saturday. So that means like Friday night, if you stay up, you could watch it. Don't quote me on that, but I'll double check.
Double check me, man.
I'll double check. But for those that don't know, it's the Dominion pay-per-view headlined by Kenny Omega challenging Kazuchi Okada, which really is the other way around. Kazuchi Okada challenged Kenny Omega.
Mm-hmm.
My question to you, this is my talk wrestling right now. Do you think that this... I know they can't. I'm not going to say try to top what they did at Wrestle Kingdom, because that's 6 stars. There's no way. I just don't believe that. It can.
Because we've seen AJ. They can.
Look,
hold on. First off, I'm going to ask you this.
Okay.
AJ Styles versus John Cena.
Okay.
Was the first match or the second match better?
True. Second match was better.
Yeah. And all I'm saying is, look, I'm not going to have that expectation. But I'm not going to sit there and say that they can't do it.
I'm going to go out and I don't. That match was so everything.
Because
just
you already know what's going to happen. He's going to hit that one ring winged angel, and he's going to win.
Maybe.
No, he's going to win off of it, because that was what made the story great.
He never got to hit the move.
So they let you know this move is so dangerous that when he hits it,
it's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Flat out rap. And Bullet Club is really about to be running shit, because I think Cody is going to take that title.
I think so too, off of Christopher Daniels. Wow. And then the Young Bucks got the tag team Bucks, championship.
Yeah, the Young Bucks just who they are.
Elite. Hey, they could.
When they move up to the heavyweight.
War Machine.
Dude, oh, I didn't even tell you that. I was tripping yesterday.
Why?
Because I got a Bleacher Report
talking
about War Machine and some sexual assault. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Look. Dude, I'm going nuts. Like, what the fuck? What's going on? And then they was like, MMA. I said, oh, okay. It ain't my guys.
I knew who they were talking about only because they have been all over the news. For those that don't know, War Machine from the MMA, who was accused of assault. Well, he did assault his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. He ended up getting life. In prison, and he deserved it for what he did to her, because that was just
fucked up.
Not right on any. I mean, it's never really right to hit a woman, but I mean, this dude went. I mean, this is
wrong on so many levels.
He tortured her and terrorized her for no apparent reason.
He's gonna have and sexually assaulted her, and he's gonna have what's coming to him when he goes.
He's gonna be fighting for real. That's a cage fight that don't stop.
They don't give a fuck what you used to do.
Right,
you're gonna be the one sexually assaulted.
Especially if you, I mean, if
when
he
you
can
run
fight.
To a Fleece Johnson up and they don't care. He wants you, and he gonna have you. Shit, that's what it is.
And if they know you're an MMA fighter, they're just gonna jump. Let's jump. Yeah.
They really gonna be after you because they know you can fight. Because they want to see if you can really
fight, like you say you could.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, speaking of Cody Rhodes, Cody Rhodes clarified after a tweet where someone asked him when he was returning to Impact that he's done. So Cody Rhodes, Impact Wrestling, not happening, which is pretty interesting because technically he is the Global Force Wrestling Next Gen Champion. So I'm assuming that means he's going to have to relinquish that belt since he's done. Yeah. Which I don't know that the Global Force titles mean that much whatever. Hideo Itami contract, his contract is up this summer, I believe at the end of June, and it said that there is a pretty strong rumor that he could be heading back to Japan. Where in Japan, we don't know. Part of it is probably WWE. Maybe they look at it like we're not going to get what we thought we would, and we got Shinsuke. Which to me isn't fair, but
and whatever. I think they still want to go after Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to get him. But
no, I think they. But they don't mean they're not trying.
True. But for Itami, I think this was. Some people are going to say that he failed. I don't think he failed. I mean, he ran into injuries. When he first came out, everybody was losing their mind, and he was a big deal. Which, one thing you got to understand is, like, WWE getting Shinsuke Nakamura wasn't a lock. So I really do believe that Hideo Itami was
supposed to be that guy.
And very well could have, because you remember when I used to be counting down the months to when Kenta, Hideo Itami, would be here with ROH.
I think it's a shame.
He's a draw.
I think it's a shame.
Yeah.
That that WWE, because don't miss the boat on it. See, that's, I said that a lot yesterday on that podcast. Don't miss the boat. You could, because first off, you could have them on two different shows. And then when you finally get them on the same show.
Oh my God.
And then when they wrestle against each other.
If I'm New Japan, though, and I know that, because another thing about it is he does miss home. He misses seeing his family like anybody would.
Yeah.
So that's a real big draw to it. I mean, with his home promotion in Japan was Pro Wrestling Noah. Pro Wrestling Noah is doing this whole thing with the youth, right? A whole youth movement, and they're using a lot of the younger talent. Nakajima, who was one of the main rivals of Kenta, Itami is the champion right now, so he could go back there. If I was New Japan, though, I'm doing everything I can.
I don't even think he's going back to Pro Wrestling Noah.
He could just be freelance, though, and do what he wants to do.
Look, I'm telling you, this guy is going to do something where he's going to have a deal with ROH in New Japan, and that's what he's going to be doing. I just don't love it. I mean, dude, can you imagine somebody like Kenta? Because I think he's going to go back to his name, too. And then he's going to be going against somebody like Kenny Omega. We're going to get that match.
Oh, man. Almost makes up Kenta, for no Kenta. And they're best friends, too. That's the crazy thing.
If Shibata can come.
Okay, I don't. Don't make me sad. I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah. Oh, man.
There haven't been any updates lately. All right, let me just run through the last things. Seth Rollins is rumored to be the cover boy for 2K18. I won't buy a 2K18 right off the shelf. I'm going to wait to make sure that they make some changes, but that's that. We'll talk about video games later. And then last but not least, Dalton Castle. All these rumors about WWE being interested, which not shocking at all. His contract ends in June. He could very well end up in WWE, which for me, I love Dalton Castle. I'm a big Dalton Castle fan. If they scoop him up, cool. I'm afraid they're not going to use him the way they should, you know, after NXT. I think he'll, in NXT, he'll be very, very popular and do dope things.
Because it's an indie type crowd.
Right.
But
on the main stage, I just feel like they might mess up his character too much because he's going to have to be too over the top. Where he's at right now is so good.
Yeah.
Because it's that, you know, ambiguous, it's flamboyant. In the middle. You're like, I don't, are you flamboyant or you're really with the shits? I don't know. He's so good at blurring the line.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, if he gets the deal, awesome. Proud of him. Dopeness. If he ends up staying, that's even better. Don't do it.
You have to understand what WWE will do with your character, and they will not do with your character what you want them to do with it. It's just what it is. And you have to understand the landscape. It's just like the Briscoes. They might be making the right move by never going to WWE. Because what they probably going to turn you into some backwood hicks and then end up turning you to jobbers. And they may not even mention what you accomplished.
Where you've been. What I mean?
Where you've been and stuff like that. So you don't want to do that. You just don't. Yeah.
I mean, also, if you're smart, you hang out for a little bit. Like, I think part of the reason why Jay Lethal and the Young Bucks did things the way they did, because everybody was shocked. Like, wow, 2-year deals? I think the whole reason they did it the way they did is because they don't know what's going to come about with this whole deal with, and I know that they put, you know, they're looking at it right now to make sure it doesn't do any antitrust laws or whatever, but SBG, that Tribune deal, that could mean money in their pockets. So to me, it was smart to be like, hey, you're going to put me in NXT and I'm going to be making pretty much the same amount of money. Yeah. I'm going to just buy my time here and see what pops off.
Well, here's the issue though. Because unless it gets popping, as far as ROH on the main stage, mm-hmm. having that huge TV deal and being on national TV, unless it really gets popping, they still not going to be making that money right away.
No.
And so with Jay Lethal, because I know he's older than them, now you got to make a decision. I mean, well, the Young Bucks are pretty, they got to be 36, right? 35?
I think they're in their early 30s. They're like our age.
Really?
Yeah.
We'll look it up. But anyway, but I know Jay Lethal is up there a little bit. So
Jay Lethal might be our age too, bro.
Dude, are you sure?
Positive.
Google that shit.
Google on it, bitch.
Google that shit. Because I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah, but, Matt is 32, Nick is 27.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So, yeah, so they do have some time.
And they're making bank, so what's the point? Like, here's what we talked about.
They actually have time.
Because then we just talk about this. Mm-hmm. Matt just bought a house. Mm-hmm. They got the Hot Topic deal.
Yeah.
Do I need to be away from my kids that much right now? Mm-hmm.
Right.
We Gucci.
Yeah. And Jay Lethal only 32. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, does he need to go anywhere? Well, this might be the time for him to go somewhere, though. Because then you can always go back.
That's true. But then the other thing you got to remember is, you know,
it's not like
New Japan's expansion
over.
into the U.S. could mean something.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I look at little things and I go, if I was a businessman, what would I be doing? Because if you look at it, you know, SBG's got the tennis network that they still toiling around with. They end up doing something with that. Because they bought that. Now you got this Tribune deal. New Japan's coming over. They kind of worked they work with ROH.
Yeah, the hardcore.
I got a U.S. champ. Right. I got a United States championship belt that I just. You see what I'm saying? They're making moves to do something. They're not just doing this just to do it. Mm. So to me, I think. And think about this too. In, what was it? A day. They sold out the Long Beach Convention Center. Like, sold out. Like, oh, we need more seats. Okay. And then put more seats and sold those out in like 2 hours. I didn't even get a chance to check plane ticket prices to try to use my Southwest points. By the time I did that, they were sold out. Mm-hmm. So if I'm looking at that, like, if we put on a good enough show, now are they going to put 10,000 butts in seats right off the top? Probably not. But, you know, if they're like, hey, we're coming back in September, sold out 5,000. Mm-hmm. We're coming back 5,000. You see what I'm saying? After a while, it's like, now we can justify coming back all the time. Mm-hmm. Now that gives guys like Jay Lethal a spot for people who can't come over that are on the New Japan roster.
Yeah.
Now they give, you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's a domino effect. That money is, it keeps coming from other places. And it's like,
I
don't need to leave for what?
Yeah.
I'm getting kicked up.
Which I did get my Jay Lethal shirt this weekend.
Good job.
Yep. And then next I'm going to be working on that Cody shirt.
The American Nightmare.
Yeah, that shirt was so dope. And somebody got one for free. Because he acted like he was going to throw it in the crowd and give it to somebody. And then he threw it down on the ground. And then he threw it down right outside the ring. And then Christopher Daniels goes outside the ring, grabs the shirt, and throws it to the crowd. And then Cody runs into the crowd right after that and saying, hey, give me back my shirt.
That was crazy.
Yeah, that was dope. That was dope. Good show.
Spot on.
Yeah, can't wait till ROH comes back in town.
Did they give a return date?
No, they did not.
Boo.
So they may not be back in 2017. But
I doubt that.
Think they'll be back?
Yeah, usually they come back around October. Maybe final battle will be in Chicago.
Nah, don't tease me, dude. I already missed the last pay-per-view. Anyway, that's it for the news and rumors. Let's move on to these quick hits. All right, Raw from the Mohegan Sun. Roman Reigns defeats Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt cuts a promo, and then Roman Reigns comes out. Roman Reigns cuts a promo. Bray Wyatt comes out. Start cutting the promo, going back and forth, and then Roman hits him, and then whatever. Dean Ambrose attacks Elias Samson. Paul Heyman confronts Samoa Joe. Raw Tag Team Champions Cesaro and Sheamus defeat Heath Slater and Rhino. TJP defeated Mustafa Ali, the Chicago boy. Kalisto, another Chicago boy, defeats Titus O'Neil. Dean Ambrose crashed The Miz. Intercontinental Championship comeback to a kickoff. Enzo Amore and Big Show defeat Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. There was a promo also cut that's a little bit important. Big Cass, because he was attacked in the back, and that's the reason why Enzo had to tag with Big Show. But Cass kind of accuses Big Show of possibly being the one to attack them. Next, we got Nia Jax defeating Raw Women's Champion Alexa Bliss via disqualification. Because Alexa Bliss, Alexa, we love you, did not want any part of Nia Jax. And then we got the Samoa Joe defeating Seth Rollins with a bit of a distraction from Bray Wyatt. And that was Raw from the Mohegan Sun in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Anyway.
Barre.
Anyway, you're Raw, sir.
My Raw, Samoa Joe, and Seth Rollins.
Barre.
It was a really good match. Even though we've seen it over and over again, that was my thing when they first announced it. I was like, again? But I felt like this match was a little bit different than their other ones. Mm-hmm. And it just felt fresh. As far as, like, they weren't doing the same spots over and over. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. the same stuff that they've done in other matches felt like a new match. So I really did like it.
Yeah, this was a good match. This was going to be my Raw until you said it, you cunt. Anyway. So, I'm going to switch it up because I actually had more than one Raw anyway. So, I'm glad that you actually went there. I thought you was going to go there and try to sell me on fucking Roman Reigns again. And you didn't. And I'm glad you didn't. Because I didn't want to have to cuss you out on such a beautiful day outside.
This guy.
But this match was good from start to finish. It told a story. Samoa Joe flat out dominated in the beginning. Seth Rollins made his comeback. He started dominating. Then they had kind of had their back and forth going towards the end. The only thing I really kind of didn't like was the distraction from Bray Wyatt. I didn't understand it. Don't know why. Hopefully, my hope is this. The reason why it wasn't going to get eliminated from my Raw is because my hope is Bray Wyatt is going after all of them.
One by one?
One by one. That's my hope. That he's like, I'm coming for you all. Let's see if that happens. So the jury is still out. But my next Raw was the Samoa Joe and Paul Heyman segment. Because Samoa Joe cuts a great promo.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about how he doesn't fear Brock. Not really worried about Brock fearing him and shit like that. And just good stuff. And then Paul Heyman comes out. Come and cuts a promo, sort of endorses Samoa Joe and everything, but also says that, you know, he worries at times, but Brock has always wiped away his worries because he's beaten The Rock. He's beaten, I think he named Stone Cold in that, The Undertaker, Goldberg. So he wipes his worries away. But Samoa Joe, like a creep does, walks up on Paul Heyman. He says, you know what? This was supposed to happen. I'm going to choke you out. You're going to go to sleep. You're going to feel this. I'm glad. I'm happy that he dropped the mic at that. It was like he was whispering to him like a straight up creep. Like, I know you can't do anything about it. And this is the message I'm sending to your advocate, Brock Lesnar. And he put the coquina clutch on him and chokes him out. That shit was so good. I love that segment. Can't wait till next week. See what happens. Because Samoa Joe is going to be there. That's one thing we ain't got to worry about.
Right.
Is that
he's going to be there.
He's going to be there. We ain't have to worry about, like, is Goldberg going to be there too? And even though they had some of the weakest segments of all time with Brock and Goldberg. So I can't wait to see this dynamic. And I hope that it comes to fisticuffs. I just want this to be physical all the way through. Every time they see each other, it's something physical. Mm-hmm. Happening, whether it's that one person getting over on the other and vice versa or whatever. I just want it to be physical each and every time they see each other. So it grows that hatred. And then now we don't even care about who's heel, who's face, and then who is heel, whatever the case may be. We just want to see these motherfuckers fight. And that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm hoping that we just get a great match, even though I know Brock is going to come out on top because what they want to do. But I'm just hoping we just get that great match come that one pay-per-view that's coming up. That one
call it by his name.
No, man. The Great American Bash. That's what I'm calling
Okay.
it. When the Great American Bash comes up, was that July 9th? Is that the day for it?
Yeah, I think
July
so.
9th? Anyway, when that happens, yeah. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Yeah, I'm a little bit intrigued to see if they disappoint me. I still don't have high hopes. I think Brock is going to go in there and just lay waste on him and then it'll be over. But that's my expectation right now. Anyway, you're bad, sir.
My bad is the TJP and Neville back and forth. I thought that was so stupid.
Oh,
it bothered
man.
Me.
Dude, hot tag? Are we just
going
hot tag?
Because, I mean, like, who? First of all, you don't make the matches. We already knew that from the jump. So when TJP kept saying, I'm going to get my match, I'm like, what? This doesn't mean we're going to go together to Kurt Angle and we're going to get this match. And then Neville comes out and says, I'm sorry to inform you. But I'm like, this is so stupid. Like,
yeah, I just.
And TJP playing the whole, you used me. I can't believe. Like, what is he? Like a hurt girlfriend? Like, I just. Yeah. It was just so annoying. None of it was inspiring at all or made me care.
No, it wasn't. And it wasn't even just that. The match was bad.
Yeah.
The match with Mustafa. I'm like, Mustafa Ali can actually wrestle. Why did y'all write and book this match the way y'all booked it? It just wasn't exciting. And that's the one thing that the Cruiserweights is always supposed to bring is excitement.
Because I can't remember many of the storylines from WCW Cruiserweights, but I remember those matches. I remember when Psychosis would go against Juventud and it was mm-hmm. always crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, and so that's what I expect from when they have the Cruiserweights out there, is at least I can get a good match. Maybe the storyline sucks.
Yeah.
But at least I'm going to get a really good match, and they didn't do it.
Yeah, so this match sucked, and then, yeah, like you pointed
that
out,
stupid storyline.
And, I'm sorry, but I don't make the matches, so unfortunately, I'm not a miracle worker and all this shit, and you're not going to get your match. What did you mean you're not going to? You're the champion. If you want to give me a match, you know you can give me a match. And all it is you tell Kurt Angle, and I know the premise behind it is like, cause I really don't want to give you a match, I use you, but we already know Kurt Angle was gonna book this match. There, he just did it early in the night with Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss. Alexa, we love you. he just did it early in the night. So why wouldn't he do it now? I mean, just. Sometimes you got to think about how other storylines may affect other storylines that you have going on. You know what I mean? And figure out that, all right, this might mess this up. Because the whole concept might just be all off. It's just off. And in this case, it was off. Anyway, you're ugly.
My ugly is the women's division as a whole. I watched Alexa Bliss against Nia Jax and was hoping for something, and I got trash.
You know what? Here's one thing I will say to you.
Okay.
And that is, I think you have to be patient with that, because we already knew, I knew going in, that this wasn't going to amount
to anything. So why are we doing it?
No. When I say, I'm talking about that night. It wasn't going to amount. It wasn't. The thing is, when I'm saying it wasn't going to amount to anything, like, it wasn't going to be no title change. Right. It wasn't going to be Alexa taking a pinfall. I knew this going into it. I knew that
too, but couldn't they have done something where Alexa cheated to win and, like, she'll do anything to escape?
Right, you know what I mean? That's what she did. That's why she forced them. But it was so
poorly done. Because they pushed her around a little bit on the outside. Like, come on. Like, we've never seen anything like that before.
I think his words.
The execution was bad.
The execution on the part of Dana Brooke and Mickie James was bad. Because they was, like, stoic. They just was kind of standing there. And they act like they really didn't want to be out there. But then they was forced to be out there. And they had to kind of start something with Alexa Bliss. We love you. And I didn't know what their purpose really was. I think they kind of messed it up at the end of the day. Because then they get in the ring behind Nia Jax as if Nia Jax not going to be pissed off that you just cost her a championship opportunity and, like, she's not going to whoop your ass. I didn't understand that part. So I do get you on that. But I think the purpose of this is Alexa doesn't want any part of Nia. And Nia's coming because she's not losing her number one contendership because you won via disqualification. Which means she still beat you. You're going to have to see me at some point.
But don't we have to get, like, here's my thing. You can't give us a crappy match on a pay-per-view and then give us a pointless, it didn't even have a chance to be crappy because it was pointless. Mm-hmm. Because after a while, that's what I see. I see, okay, a match that didn't really matter on the pay-per-view, and now another match that didn't really matter. Okay. Like, the only time I felt good about the women's division was when Kurt Angle actually admitted that was the worst segment in the history of ever, was hilarious.
But what's the name that admitted it too, though? Bayley admitted it on Extreme Rules.
Yeah. No, and I mean, it's true. But my thing is, that shouldn't be what I'm hanging my hat on when it comes to the women's division. I get it. Be impatient. So then why isn't there another match that would have been dope? Like, you could have put anybody. Dana Brooke versus somebody.
I think that's where Nia's kind of alluding to when she subtweeted them. It was like, why are we just having one women's match and we just focusing on this? Or why are we having our women tag team with these males and shit? Why are we doing that? Why isn't the focus on us 100% of the time when we're in the match? Why does my focus have to be I'm tagging with Rich Homie Swan and she's tagging with Noam Dar, whatever the case may be. Why does that have to happen? You know, Sasha and Alicia Fox should not even be put in that situation. Why do they have to have this love triangle square? I don't know what the fuck you want to call it. Or Alicia Fox wanting to protect her man. Why do we have to have this storyline going on? Because you don't know what the fuck to do with Alicia Fox. Really, that's what it is. And then you want to kind of keep Sasha Banks from the title. But why even do that when you have when she's still facing, then you got a heel champion? You want to keep Sasha Banks away from the title? Just have her fucking lose to Nia Jax. Nia Jax is a tweener. She's not a face or a heel. She's just there to punish those people and try to win the title. That's her focus. And just go with that. Mm-hmm. So, I almost like kind of shared your ugly.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
I don't mind though.
Yeah, yeah.
Great minds think alike.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at this lineup though, and look, man, my ugly.
Dun dun dun.
Shouldn't be a surprise. And that is Roman Reigns.
Oh no.
It just is, man. It just is. I just can't do this shit every fucking week, man. I just can't sit here and watch this dude in that ring knowing that he's going to do the same moves. And the other person is putting them over. And they're actually wrestling. But at the end of the day, they're not being respected because Bray Wyatt is taking another L. And for what? And not only is Bray Wyatt taking the L, then now, instead of just attacking Roman Reigns after the match or whatever the case may be, doing something to Roman, now he's somehow distracting Seth Rollins. And why is he distracting Seth Rollins? I mean, because of the promo. Mm-hmm. So now is he going to attack everybody else and shit? But why is Samoa Joe not really affected by what Bray just did? So are we still just not going to do anything with Bray Wyatt? So it's a combination of, why is Bray taking L's again? Are we not going to do anything with Bray but just have him really talk shit just to get his ass whooped? And why is Roman in the position that he's in when he's just doing 5-6 moves in the damn match? No, I take that back. 6 or 7. I forgot the drop kick.
I just want them to change the drive by name. Like, I can't.
Oh, I can't do it. I just don't like it. And I want them to take that fucking vest off. Take the butterfly off your chest. I just don't understand why this dude's rocking a butterfly on his damn chest. Yes, I do know it's a nail and it's 2 R's. So for those people who sit there and be like, what? It's not a butterfly.
It's not a butterfly.
It's a butterfly to me, damn it. Anyway. Yeah, man. I can't stand it, dude. I just can't stand when this dude gets in the ring and the only thing he has is that he can get stronger during the match. He gets stronger during the match. Just so, because now they have no choice but to try to switch it up because this dude's 6'5", 200 whatever odd pounds and shit, and they tried to frame him as the underdog and shit. Now they have no choice but to frame him as the big dog. It's his yard. But why the fuck is it somebody's yard who can't fucking wrestle? Isn't this the point of wrestling? Is putting people in the ring who can actually wrestle? People are actually training. It's so disrespectful. And I'm telling you, there's anybody could be Roman Reigns. Anybody. You can find somebody out there with the same look who can go in the ring, and that person can be Roman Reigns. Why are we taking away from the art form of wrestling? We're taking away from that because you want to push this motherfucker off on us. And instead of sitting there saying that, no, look, dude, you want to wrestle. And I'm pretty sure if given the chance, he probably would learn wrestling moves and actually do wrestling moves. Because he doesn't have to be a high flyer. See, that's not what I'm trying to allude to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that he has to jump off the turnbuckle, which he doesn't do at all. At least do a body splash.
Yeah, I haven't even seen him going off the top rope.
Right. I haven't never even seen this dude. Even John Cena is going off the top rope. Yeah. I mean, this guy doesn't do any of that. He's straight ground. I'm going to do these 7 moves. I'm going to let you whoop my ass this whole match. But I'm going to get stronger. Like he's a fucking Saiyan. You ain't no fucking Saiyan. You don't get stronger every time you get your ass whooped. Shit.
He's treating this dude. A Super Saiyan.
No. Fuck that. No, man. It's disrespectful that this dude just doesn't have the skills, but yet we are letting him beat somebody like a Bray Wyatt, who is great on the mic, who has his firefly. Every time them damn lights go off, people got their damn cameras in the sky with their flashlights on.
Yeah.
I mean, this dude can sell shit. And I'm talking about merchandise. I'm not talking about in the match. He can sell merch. Just like CM Punk was able to sell merch, and then you wanted to fudge the numbers to make it seem like John Cena was actually selling more when he wasn't. New Day, selling merch. But you know what these dudes have in common? Even John Cena. Lana made her debut. She can't wrestle for shit, but she is looking good in that dress. Anyway, sorry, I'm watching SmackDown right now. Anyway, but even John Cena, he can wrestle. I mean, that's what drew people to him in the first place. When he was Ruthless Aggression, he was able to wrestle. Him and Kurt Angle had some battles through the years when he first was coming up. I think the problem with John Cena is no secret, is the staleness of his character. Mm-hmm. And it just got annoying after a while. And the fact that he just refuses to turn heel and shit because of merchandise reasons. I mean, at some point, man, it got to be about the fans, and it got to be about putting on a showcase.
Right.
And it can't always be about money. WWE, you are not hurting for money. And I think if you put on better wrestling matches and wrestling shows and stop trying to push short-term goals and look for long-term goals, you'll be in a better position. You wouldn't worry about having record lows in ratings and shit like that. Or you wouldn't have to sit there and be like, oh, I'm going to rely on bringing Brock Lesnar onto the show so then our ratings can go up. You know what I mean? They'll try to have these nostalgia main event matches. So your ratings can be high.
So those ratings go up?
Like, if you just sell the people that you actually have, that you getting, that you're paying, you're stealing them from indie fans who love to go to ROH or go to AEW and all these other shows and watch these dudes wrestle for cheap and enjoy it. ROH is alive and they can sell tickets for a TV taping for like $30, front row, small venue, and they can still afford to pay all these damn wrestlers because that's how much money they're making. But they can do this. And WWE just need to do the same thing. Anyway, that's it for my ugly. Let's talk a little wrestling. And the question I have for you, when are we going to get to the point where we stop protecting wrestlers and kind of humanize things? And this is the point, and this is where I'm going with it. Not what we talked about the other day with Roman Reigns protecting him because he can't wrestle. I'm talking about Samoa Joe making Seth Rollins pass out. Samoa Joe making Finn Balor pass out. Why can't they just tap? Why can't we just do this? Because look, Brock Lesnar has tapped out in an MMA match. And so it's not like it's saying that I want to fucking live. I want to live. That's why I'm tapping out. This dude is choking the shit out of me and I can't get out of it. Why am I going to risk my life and let myself turn blue and pass out? So, I mean, Why are we doing this all the time? We do this all the time with all they top wrestlers. Nobody's tapping out anymore as far as they top wrestlers. Nobody.
But I think that's always been the case, just because that's what WWE does. The way that they that it's looked at is that, you know, instead of tapping out, we do the three-arm thing or the rep.
They don't do that, right.
That's what I was going to say. And then they don't really do that. In this case, I think on Raw, Finn didn't even tap. The ref just checked him and was like, oh, he's out. And then called the bell. It's just the way they write it. But it's WWE. It's not a whole wrestling problem. Because, I've watched, you know, different. I won't even say ROH. I've watched other indie promotions where you have certain moves where a guy taps, like, almost immediately. Like, for instance, in Progress, when Mark Haskins uses the sharpshooter, it's considered, like, it's almost going to be a wrap. So if somebody gets out of it, you're like, oh, my God, you can't believe it. And I think that's just, it's just booking all the way around. I don't know that all the time it happens. Is it protecting somebody? Not all the time. But in cases like if there's a Roman Reigns or something, then, yeah, they're not going to have Roman Reigns tap.
But they should. And here's the reason why.
Because it's a real move.
Right. Because it's a real move. And it's like, I want to, because it hurts.
True, but you have to think with Vince McMahon man mind.
And he may break something. Because logically, if you got me in a damn arm bar, I'm not going to let you break my fucking arm.
Right.
Ronda Rousey, I'm going to tap the fuck out. This is what it is.
But
if you have me in a rear naked choke, I'm tapping the fuck out. True. Because you're not going to just, I'm not trying to pass out here.
But it's all in the booking. It's not even, I think protecting someone and how they and how they don't tap is two separate things.
It makes the submission move that much better.
But right, I understand that, but it's two different animals because you're talking about, one, why don't they tap to moves anymore? They just don't in WWE. It's just not how it works. Like, you do get it sometimes here and there,
you only
mostly
get it
in women matches.
No,
but
you get it when it comes to Pepsi Fire. What the fuck is that nasty shit? Anyway, no, you get it when with your mid to lower level wrestlers. But it needs to happen with the top tier wrestlers. Because what's the point of having a submission move as a finisher if these motherfuckers won't tap out? If they just won't tap out? That's what I'm saying. I just don't get it. When I mentioned it, I was talking about WWE. I wasn't even talking about the indies. I'm talking about WWE. That's what makes the move the signature finisher. You know what I mean? That's what makes it the move. The Coquina clutch. That's what makes it the move. Is by you tapping the fuck out. Because it's so devastating. You need to, because you're going to run out of air. You want to live. That's why you're tapping out. Because I'm going to choke your ass out. So do you want this to happen? So when it comes to WWE, and I know, and I thought about it, and they have been doing this for years. They just have. They've been doing it for decades. That's the reason why I wanted to bring it up. I just think it's time to stop. I think what makes the submission move special is by you just tapping out. Mm-hmm. And it didn't always happen. They did it. It didn't always happen with everybody. They did do it with the top stars.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're just gonna pass out. And see, that's the thing too. You take away it. You take
away that being special.
Being special.
Everybody passes out.
Yeah. So what's so special about this move? You're just gonna make me pass out. I don't get it. I don't know why. What are we doing this for? So I think they just got to do something different. And WWE just needs to do something different. I'm not going to look at Finn Balor as somebody who is weak now because he tapped out to a Coquina clutch. I'm not going to look at Seth Rollins as somebody who's weak because he tapped out to the Coquina clutch. I'm just not going to do it. You know what I mean? I was surprised that they had Kevin Owens tap out to the Walls of Jericho. That actually happened. And maybe in certain cases, yeah, they'll have a heel tap out too.
Right.
Yeah.
I was just about to say, he's a heel, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Heels got to look weak.
Yeah, but which is another problem. How you have your heels looking weak and shit, but they're champions. I just don't get it.
So Vince McMahon logic, baby.
Man, he gotta fix that dumbass logic. Motherfucker need to retire. Anyway,
how do you really feel?
Did I just say that out loud? My fault. I ain't mean to.
You said retire though, so that's good.
Yeah, I did. Usually I say other words that's not so nice. But Vince McMahon, just walk away with your billions and be happy. Enjoy the rest of your fruitful life. I wish you the best in all your endeavors. Just one of those endeavors need not to be WWE anymore. And with that said, check out 1515F and all of the content. Be sure to click on that Amazon banner. It goes to support the site. When you go and buy something, Father's Day is coming up soon. So buy your mom. Your father, your brother.
Do not buy your mom a Father's Day gift.
Hell nah, I'm not with that shit.
Man.
And I just totally skipped all the other shit. But anyway, you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. You will find the MWT podcast, the Wrestling Roundtable podcast, where you will get the GTS and RBU podcast, and plus our special events podcast, where we do the reviews on these pay-per-views. Also, Equal Opposites, Love and Hip Hop, The Rundown, Studio Flow, and Mac and D. And with that said, that's it from me, Stuart the Pro.
It's Miller.
And we out.